So this message in this series, I'm calling Gifted to Belong. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite a guest up here to help me with this message. But I want to give a little bit of introduction before that. What I want you to look at as we go through this message is we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. What I want you to look at is the idea of spiritual gifts. That's going to be the main thing that we look at this morning. Okay. But then there are at least two things that are intimately tied to spiritual gifts. Okay. In fact, in virtually every passage about spiritual gifts, these other two things show up in there as well. Okay. Now, this is the passage that we're going to look at this morning. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." Now, that's what this particular translation says. Okay, this is the ESV that I'm reading this from. Now, Roger's going to talk about this in a few minutes, but I want you to look just at this book right here, okay? Do you see this book? Roger's going to talk about this in just a moment. This was Roger's thesis for Dallas Theological Seminary back in 1979, okay? You see how thick this is here? We're not going to read this today, okay, but we are going to talk about a little bit of the content. Yeah, it is. It's much bigger print than my Bible is today, but we're going to talk about spiritual gifts this morning, and in particular, the ones that Roger spoke about in his thesis statement. Okay, now I did steal a little bit from your thesis statement here, Roger. I have quotes from your thesis statement from Charles Ryrie, who was one of my professors at the Word of Life Bible Institute, and I think one of Roger's professors at Dallas as well. He wrote, "A spiritual gift is a God-given ability for service." And then McCray, who I'm not as familiar with as Roger is, I'm sure, wrote that a spiritual gift is a divine endowment of a special ability for service upon a member of the body of Christ. And when we specifically get into the gifts that we're looking at today, I'm going to have Roger give some perspective on it. And then I have a slide from the back of his thesis book, from one of the appendices, that I want to share with you as well. So, Pastor Roger Coulter, would you please join me? Could we give him a hand? All right, very good. Are we situated?
Can you all hear me? Now, I have a question. I spoke here just a few weeks ago, and Matt's younger than I am, correct? But here's the question, who's better looking?
That was not in our list of questions for today. I've lost 16 pounds in the last month, so I think I'm catching up with you anyway. All right. So, Roger, I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about you and your background and such like that. But I want to remind everybody that Roger is our newest elder on the elder team. He is our Christian education elder. So we praise God for Roger and his ministry among us. Roger, I just want you to take a couple minutes and remind everyone of your background and your family and such like that.
If I could, I'm here to give you a quick background, and Matt and I have talked, and then I had a list of questions, and in answering the question, what I'm going to do is to use props and pictures. props and pictures, and then I have a list of, again, Matt's questions. And so all this, I think, if you're just patient to enjoy the props and pictures, it will certainly help Matt toward the end of the message. So if I could just have picture one. My background is very important to kind of know my experience. I was raised in a wonderful family. I had a wonderful father, mother, I had two brothers, and I was raised in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And as a faithful member in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, I would go to catechism class, 7th and 8th grade. And my mother was a wonderful woman. I called my mother the Mother Teresa of Trinity Lutheran Church. My mother did something unique and special. For 45 years of her life, she taught a Sunday school class for special needs people. And that is a picture of me. 5 years, for 5 years, 3 years in high school, 2 years in college, along with my mother, I taught a Sunday school class for special needs people. That picture, if you look, and hopefully those watching through Facebook can see it, this is a very important picture to see. Now, the woman is not my mother. That's Jean Giebert. She was a woman that was a social worker teacher, but that was a burden she had to minister to special needs people. And then she took my mother and helped my mother, and then my mother eventually took her position. Again, she taught for over 45 years this Sunday school class. I was a senior in high school. And so as a senior in high school, I would go to that Sunday school class, and I want you to look very carefully at all the people there. Look carefully. And if you see, the picture next to me is a young man. He appears as a young boy, but Damon is very special to me.
No, that's you right in the middle there wearing the tie, correct, Roger?
Yes.
And then Damon is to our left.
Yes.
Okay.
So you see Damon. Look carefully if you can. What's Damon doing with his left hand? And look at Damon. What I learned here is a children's song that I'm going to make into an adult song. My mother died at the age of 93, and she had written orders that she wanted her pastor son to fulfill. One, I was to speak at her funeral service, and two, I was to lead people in singing her favorite song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Now see, Jesus loves all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. I've changed that, and that became my song in ministry. Jesus loves all the peoples of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves all the peoples of the world. Black people, white people, Asian people, Hispanic people, old people, young people, special needs people. You understand the flow here. That's what I learned through my mother, teaching that class for 5 years. I was not a Christian, though. I was not a Christian. I was faithfully doing what I thought you should do as a Christian, and I was not a Christian. When I was a freshman at the university, my older brother becomes a Christian, and he gave Christmas gifts to all his family members, extended family members, immediate family members, and this was the Christmas gift he gave to me. And because of this Christmas gift, it's called the Living New Testament. I read this twice in December of 1971, and through reading the Bible, I placed my faith in Jesus. I was not depending upon my good works. I was not depending upon my Lutheran church background. I was not depending upon what a wonderful thing it is to teach a Sunday school class for special needs people, but I was finally, through reading the Bible on my own, I realized one becomes a Christian, one has acceptance before God. Through whom? Jesus, and Jesus alone. So my life verse is Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I became a Christian by finding and devouring the Word of God. And from the age of 18 years old, and now I'm 67 years old, the Bible, the Word of God, is the joy and the delight of my heart. I began to think, I'm a freshman at the university, the Bible's the joy and the delight of my heart. What am I going to do following my graduation from Bradley University? I learned that there were such a thing as spiritual gifts. And then I thought, and I believed, and others told me, people that I respected and admired, that they thought that this young man had the spiritual gift of pastor, teacher. And so because of that, because of my spiritual gift of pastor, teacher, I made the decision to send an application to Dallas Theological Seminary. It was accepted. So then, as a young man with my wife, we go to Dallas Theological Seminary because I want to improve my skills because of this gift that God has given me, the gift of pastor-teacher. So I chose to go to Dallas Theological Seminary because of its motto. The motto of Dallas Theological Seminary is found right here. It is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It is to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience. So, the Bible was the joy and delight of my heart. I believed it was confirmed by people I respected that I had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, so I go to Dallas Seminary to learn how to teach the Bible. Not as a professor at Bible college or seminary, but as a pastor. And then because of that interest I had, I did a crazy thing. I was a major in the Greek language, Greek New Testament, and so I chose as my thesis, it's a long thesis, Matt. It is the distinction between the spiritual gift of pastor, teacher, and the office of elder in the New Testament. And so that's kind of a new concept. A spiritual gift is a gift given, whereas an elder is to be a spiritually qualified, I believe, older man who leads and guides the church. You can have a spiritual gift and yet not be a spiritually qualified leader in the church. Now, the best of both worlds is to be spiritually qualified as a spiritual leader, and then if you do have the gift of pastor-teacher, to use that gift to the glory of God. And so that's been my background. At Dallas Seminary, I was also a youth pastor at a Plymouth Brethren Assembly. And you may not be familiar with the Plymouth Brethren Assembly, but for 2 years I was a part-time youth pastor at a Plymouth Brethren Assembly. And just keep that in mind, youth pastor, Plymouth Brethren Assembly, where then I would use my gift, a pastor teacher among young people, and I was surrounded by a wonderful church of godly men called elders. The church was called Eastfield Bible Chapel. Following that, I had a church...
Before we go from there, the interesting thing, if you're not familiar with the Plymouth Brethren Church, the interesting thing about them is that they don't have lead pastors. they have elders that lead the church, but they don't have a lead pastor, but they did hire a youth pastor. So that's kind of a interesting dynamic to that congregation.
And Matt's correct on that. So they don't have a lead pastor, so it's led by a plurality of men called elders, or the other term is bishops, overseers. And then I learned how it was to be submissive as a youth pastor in a Plymouth Brethren Assembly with godly men who led me, guided me, instructed me, at times rebuked me as a youth pastor. And that was very formative in my thinking. So then I go to a church plant in Monmouth, Illinois. There were 8 families who were interested in starting a independent Bible church. When I graduated from Dallas Seminary, the denominational churches, a Dallas graduate was not welcomed. The Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, and the, Episcopal Church, those traditional churches would not welcome a Dallas graduate. So in the late 70s, early 80s, it was, you just would go to an independent Bible church, because the Presbyterians are not going to hire you, the Methodists are not going to hire you, the Episcopal Church isn't going to hire you, and so you start an independent Bible church. I did with the first meeting. My dad died at the age of 59 on a Saturday morning, and then I drove to Monmouth, Illinois from Peoria, Illinois, and I conducted the first meeting of the church in a farmer's garage. It was about 12 degrees below zero, with heaters, and then that church was, I was there for just under 9 years.
So Dad passed away on Saturday. Roger drove there on Sunday with his brother, the same brother that gave you the Bible.
Yes.
Right? And what did your brother say to you on the way?
Debbie was with our firstborn child, Jamie, so she couldn't make it. My mother was just heartbroken. My brother comes with me. And then we get in the car, and he says, "Roger, are you nuts?" So that, and what I learned there was to be with a wonderful group of farmers. It taught me to speak clearly to them that I highly respected and get off of the academic sermon routine. And it was a wonderful experience. Church plant, we did it all. So I went through all the experiences there. And there are families that I'm still close to, if that's helpful. That name was Countryside Bible Church, Eastfield Bible Chapel, Countryside Bible Church. When I was there, I joined because I wanted some help. I became a member of the IFCA, the Independent Fundamental Churches of America, because I needed some help and assistance, so I became a member of that minister association. I then go to Louisiana in a bigger church, more established church, just outside of New Orleans. And the name of that church was called Bible Center Church. You get the theme? Bible, Bible, Bible. And so I was there for just under 9 years as well. There I experienced a parent's nightmare. We had a 4-year-old identical twin son who was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, and 11 months following that diagnosis, Jeremy died. And so that is the parent's nightmare experience. Following that, I go to a church in York, Pennsylvania, and the name of that church was called the York Gospel Center. The York Gospel Center. It was a wonderful experience because of the history of the church. The founding pastor was a close friend of Dr. Billy Graham. Ever heard of Dr. Billy Graham? In Dr. Billy Graham's autobiography, he mentions going to York, PA, ministering with a friend of his named Ralph Boyer. And then Ralph Boyer was the founding pastor and evangelist in the York Gospel Center. Following his ministry, then the next pastor was the president of the IFCA, Independent Churches of America. And one time they had their yearly national convention at the York Gospel Center. It was a large building. It could seat around 1,200 people. And that was my experience for like 4 years.
So it was rainbows and unicorns at York, right?
Yes. What does that mean?
Why don't you explain to us what you walked into at York?
The church there, and I don't want to get into all the details, it happened in Louisiana. I call it the parents' nightmare. I walked into a pastor's nightmare. Any and every problem that you could have in a church existed in that church. And when I was hired, the 12 elders, they told me any and every problem. So I went into that church with my eyes wide open. And it just had so many problems that they hired me to teach the Bible, pastor, teacher, teach the Bible. And they wanted me, because of the references, they thought I was skilled as a pastor to deal with difficult people, to be a problem solver, to talk with people individually as a group, trying to bring reconciliation in impossible situations where people don't want reconciliation. And so that was the parents' nightmare. Pastor's nightmare.
Yeah, so you walked into York, I believe, right after they had had a split, right? And you took it upon yourself to do the right thing, even though you had to do the hard thing, which was try to still work with this new church in spite of the hard feelings that that there was between the two churches, right?
Yes, and what happens there, again, I'm gifted, I believe you can say, I don't think you are gifted, Roger, as a pastor-teacher in dealing with difficult situations. They checked my background, and everyone said, here's the guy to work with difficult problems. I don't run away from problems, I will deal with them head on. I don't talk about people, I talk directly to people. So in that case, what happened, Matt, was the leadership told me the problem, and what happened was the church is around roughly 850, 900 people. The lead pastor resigns from the church. He made a public resignation. After he did that, the next week, 250 to 300 people left the church, went down the road, and started a new church called Grace Fellowship Church. Lead pastor, youth pastor, worship leader, church secretary, and a number of the elders just left. 250 people, 300 people just gone overnight. Most of those people were the young people. And the old people were left dealing with the mess. And so they trusted me to kind of work through things. So then I went on a listening tour. I would listen to any and all peoples. I heard some tragic stories, anger, sorrow, you name it, I heard it. And then I said, we need to be the adults in the room. And the leadership trusted me, so we took positive steps to bring reconciliation to that group that had left.
But my understanding is not everybody in the congregation was appreciative of your
efforts. Let me put it this way, Matt. There are people, this may surprise you, that I'm not on their Christmas card mailing list. If I'll give you a real quick story what happened. Again, the leadership trusted me. I would give my recommendation suggestions, but we then had 12 elders. I was one of the 12 elders spiritually qualified to lead, guide, oversee the church who had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And so I was respected, though, as one of the elders, but we would agree on the decisions we made. They trusted me in the decisions that I thought we need to go to. One of the things that was a highlight of my ministry, I'll give it to you real quick, both churches were missionary-minded. Do we all love missions? Our church, the York Gospel Center, had a sister church in Mariupol, Ukraine. We had sent youth pastor, associate pastor with the young people. One of the young people was my daughter's. They're on a short-term missions trip. They come back, and I began to think, what could be done positively to do something? And again, what happened was everyone loved the worship leader that left the church to start the other church. Just think of Michael W. Smith. Michael W. Smith. Everyone likes Michael W. Smith, and now he's the worship leader at the church down the street.
We can talk about Michael W. Smith because the teens are on retreat. They have no idea who that is.
And so, trying to give you a look, I went to him with full authority from the elders who backed me. I wanted to have the pastor from the Baptist church in Mariupol, Ukraine. He was coming to the States to be at our church, and I wanted him to see how we in America, we work together. Something about unity that Pastor Matt preaches and talks about. So then we had a two-hour supper, invited all the leadership from the church split with their spouses, all the leadership in my church with spouses. We had it catered. He was the featured person. He couldn't speak, by the way, English with an interpreter. And then he saw how we do things.
Yeah, and so let's clarify this, okay? You walk into a church that just had a church split.
Well, at that time, it was like 4 years from the split to when I'm there now.
And you go to the church that split off of yours and say, hey, let's come together for this concert for this other church in the Ukraine.
Okay, so we were the adults. We went to them and said, here's my plan. We advertise it on the Christian radio, newspapers. We're going to have a concert Saturday night. Again, think of Michael W. Smith. And everyone's invited. And then the featured person was going to be the pastor from the church, our sister church in Mariupol, Ukraine. And so before that, we had this wonderful time of fellowship. Everybody talked. He thought everybody got along quite well. Nobody was throwing food at one another and all this and that. By that time, things were much better among the leadership. But the sad thing is when church splits happen, the young people go there, they won't come back to their mom's church. Mom won't go there with the grandkids. They won't talk to each other when they grocery shop. They ignore each other. That was what I was walking into. People ignoring each other at the grocery store. Older people refusing to go to the children's program at that church. The younger people refusing to come back to the older church in respect and honor of their parents. So I thought of this mechanism to get them back, so then the place was packed. Remember it sat around 1,200 people? And then I was the MC. Paul was also a fundraiser, so then I don't do this normally. I said, reach deep in your pockets. It was promoted to give an offering. So the offering plates were passed. Michael W. Smith still continues his concert. What a wonderful evening. People from that church came. People from my church were there. They were lifting up holy hands. Thank you for leading worship today, Larry. Worshiping whom? Jesus. Missions, Baptist pastor, Mariupol, Ukraine. People then dug deep. I can't remember the exact total, but then I was handed a check. I think it was $16,000, $20,000. I then was able to say, glory be to God, all those things, and hand it to the pastor. And so, is that not missions? Is that not coming together and showing as adults what we need to do? Well, you're correct, Matt. By that, again, there were people that are not on their Christmas mailing list. But
one of the things that you find out as a pastor is that you have to do the right thing, even if it's the hard thing. I guarantee that Roger going back to the other church that had split off of this one, that was not the easy thing to do, but his conviction was that it was the right thing to do.
No, Matt knows the insights. I did not agree with how that happened. No, I do not believe that you don't resign the way that pastor did, but that was the honest truth. But Philippians chapter 1 says, people can preach Jesus from impure motives. We're not to judge motives, but if Christ is proclaimed in this, I will rejoice. So that church did preach Jesus. We were preaching Jesus, and I wasn't going to judge people, because who's the ultimate judge of motives? Jesus. I'll leave that to Jesus, but I know what we can do. If Jesus Christ, if he's proclaimed, if the gospel's proclaimed, in this I will grumble. No, I will rejoice. After that, quickly, I'm worried about the time. I then go to a church. I've experienced the good, the bad, the ugly. I found a great church called Grace Hills. Grace Hills Evangelical Free Church. We shortened the name in just communication to Grace Hills. And I was in a pastor's heaven, because they knew that I was gifted as a pastor, teacher. They respected me as a spiritually qualified elder. And I think I learned a few things on what to do as a pastor, and it was a wonderful, blessed experience.
So we didn't get to the rest of your pictures.
Well, then the second picture is this then.
Okay.
The second picture is this. The young people aren't here, but was I not married to a hot wife? That picture was taken, so the people at that church were shocked when I announced that I had to retire. And I think you all know, I think being a pastor is the most glorious, joyful job there is. There's nothing better than being a pastor. I love being a pastor. And I think I was very good at it, exercising my gift, a pastor, teacher, spiritually qualified to lead people. But when I learned my wife had early onset Alzheimer's, I loved someone far better than a job. And that's my wife. The church then didn't know what to do, so I talked with them, and they gave us one of the finest retirement luncheons you could imagine. And so they brought people back from my former churches and all this and that, so it was just not a... That picture right there, my wife never knew that she had Alzheimer's. That was one of her happiest days of her life. Because I'm going to retire, and I'm going to retire to spend all my time with Debbie and the grandkids. And she's happy, and that's one of the saddest days of my life. She never knew, though, that I'm retiring because she has early onset Alzheimer's, and I'm leaving this job that I love, and I thought that picture shows it well. Now I'm going to get back to Matt here. I received the greatest compliment from my wife. And again, there are people, surprisingly, that I'm not on their Christmas mailing list, right? And it was about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, when my wife, she heard my last sermon. And Debbie would sit up close like Larry does and Val. And Debbie was holding the hand of a wonderful Christian who was from Asian descent, holding her hand. Just a normal service, and then we get in the car. And what is so bad about Alzheimer's is that Debbie would talk to me about me, not knowing it was me. Isn't that sad? She would talk to me about me, not knowing it was me. Okay? So we get in the car, and she's just so happy. See this on her face there? And she says, Roger, you would have enjoyed the service today. Well, why, Debbie? And she said, oh, you would have loved the pastor. Well, why would I love the pastor? He was preaching the Bible with enthusiasm. Oh, he was. And he was preaching from the Bible. Enthusiasm, passion, Bible. Amen. Thank you, Debbie. That's the last time she ever heard me publicly speak. Now, let me say something about Pastor Matt.
I didn't pay him to say what he's going to say.
Somebody would say, I think I've been asked, why am I here? Because I do love this church, and I love Pastor Matt. And when I would sit in the back, I was looking for two qualities in a pastor. Number one, does he preach the Bible with passion, enthusiasm? And number two, does he preach from the Bible? My wife would be very happy with you, Pastor Matt. He preaches with passion. He really believes what he's preaching. He really does believe what he's preaching. And he preaches from the Bible. So that's why I serve at your pleasure.
Well,
next picture. Next picture is a funny one. Then this is my retirement. And it was kind of a joke time. But one of the, you can't see it, Mark did this. He was from a wonderful church in Chicago, an evangelical free church. He understood the DNA, the culture. We had people in the church that clearly understood the EFCA, the culture. That's why it was a wonderful church. Mark was a close friend of mine, and he did the MC of this. And this was his summary of Roger's ministry. Now, look carefully. Super Pastor Roger. Now, this is where Jim Meyer, you fit in. In my day, you actually wore a tie to church and a sports coat. So that's my tie and that's my suit. So things have changed. Now you come in blue jeans and T-shirts, but I would always preach with a tie and sports coat, Jim. And then he has Super, that's a good-looking guy there too, Super Pastor Roger. But if you notice what is in my pocket here, Bible, the Bible. Now, I can't see. Now, I'm 67. I would preach from this Bible. I would hold this Bible. I could read the font. When I did pastoral visits in the hospice care, nursing home, intensive care facilities, when I counseled people in their homes, in my office, it was always the Bible. Because pastor, teacher, Bible. Bible, Bible, Bible. See, Bible. And so I can't use this. It's not because I can't read this. I need a big print Bible now. So then, see that Bible? And then I've seen bad stuff in church. And when I talked to this church that I was at for just under 12 years, they knew what they were getting. We will not fight for the throne. We will not fight for the throne. Grow up. Quit acting like children. And what will we fight for? The towel. Remember John 13? The disciples were not going to wash one another's feet, dirty feet. Ooh, don't want to do that. So who girded himself with the towel and washed their feet? So I think what I required from elders and deacons and church leaders was stop fighting for the throne. No politics here. No power grabs. I want to have people fighting for the... So Mark got my point. Next picture then. Another part of my ministry is the following. I understand what's important. What's important? Family. Family. And I like happy faces. I'm looking out. It's nice to see happy faces. And this is my wife, Debbie, and our four kids. What do you see? Happy faces. My kids could tell you sad stories about being a PK. But what do you see on their face? Happy faces. Happy faces. I am so delighted that Joshi is involved with the young people. I'm so happy to learn these young people are at a retreat. I'm so happy to hear that a young person dedicated his or her life to Jesus, because young people, children. Next picture. Yeah, there's another one.
You said four. We've met our limit now.
So what that shows, those are my nine grandkids. I have 10 now. So in ministry, I want the church to have passion for Jesus, preach from the Bible, focus on all spheres of life. I love this church. I see old people here. Did I point at any particular old person? I want young people. Ministry is from the cradle to the grave. Cradle to the grave, all aspects of ministry. We don't get on a soapbox on one particular issue in church. We cradle to the grave, ministering so we can preach the Word of God with passion so we can put smiles on people's faces. Amen. That's kind of what I was trying to get at.
Well, you're lucky that your bonus picture is a cute one. But, you know, I have more to my message, but we're going to save that for next week. I feel like what we've talked about this morning has been pretty wonderful. And so we'll save the rest of the message for next week. But as you, some of you are taking notes, I want you to write down in your Bible or write down on your notes and then take a look at this week. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Romans chapter 12. Okay, those are the four spiritual gifts passages. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Romans chapter 12. Okay, and I could give you more specific verses in there, but that's what I want you to look at. And I want you to look for three things, okay? Where it talks about spiritual gifts, I want you to look for the two other things that show up in all of those passages, okay? So it talks about spiritual gifts and then two other things that show up in those passages, okay? Before we close, I want to talk just a little bit more about the difference between an elder in the church and the gift of pastor teacher, okay? So Roger, in your opinion, does an elder have to be gifted with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher?
No. That's the important thing to understand. So what we're striving for when we talk about discipleship ministries, when we talk about what's needed in the church is modeling, examples. And in the New Testament, it is hopefully, spiritually qualified men who are wise, prudent, mature, who display Jesus in their life, in their attitudes. The New Testament calls those men elders. Another term would be overseers or bishops. And I believe there should be a plurality because you need checks and balances in a church and wisdom acquired from a group of elders. So now among those elders, one may be gifted with, for an example, the gift of giving. One could be gifted with the gift of encouragement. One could be gifted with the gift of administration. One could be gifted with the gift of pastor teacher. Now, where Matt, if I may, or someone like myself, is that then elders are to work hard at preaching and teaching because that's their gift. But they're not any different or special because a gift is a gift from God's grace. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. It's a gift of God's grace that I exercise, but I'm no different from someone else who has the gift of administration, the gift of helps, the gift of showing mercy. So you have to let the gifts loosen the church to the glory of God, to the building up of the body of Jesus.
Yep, and as you read through those passages that I mentioned, you'll see Paul is pretty specific about how those gifts are distributed and according to whose will those gifts are distributed. So I've received one set of gifts that's unique to me. Roger's received another set of gifts that's unique to him. And every single one of us has a different gift mix that we received when we believed in Jesus Christ. And we are all needed, all of our spiritual gifts are needed in order for the body of Christ to function well. Now, before we close, Roger, so you don't have to have the gift of pastor teacher to be an elder. You mentioned that the scriptural requirements for an elder do talk about being male. What about
is it possible for men and women to have the gift of pastor teacher?
This is just my opinion. I've learned an experience that what's also needed is godly men, men that model, that are blameless, husband of one wife, they manage their children well, they're patient, they're considerate, they're kind. You see that manifested. You have elders, you can have deacons. I also believe it's important for the church to look out and find spiritually qualified, godly women who can model what the men model. And that some questions whether there's an office of deaconesses in the New Testament or not. And whether you agree with that or not, I believe there are women that should be singled out, pointed out to say, younger women, this is what you should act like. That is what you should be like. Just like I can go to a younger man, like Joshi, who's 30 years old, 31, he's 31, and then I can say, well, look to these older men. Follow their example, their wisdom, their prudence. And so I don't want to get into the technicalities, but I was always comfortable because I had a wonderfully strong wife to get the input from godly, mature women to help me in ministry, that's what you're looking for.
And your wife would have been one of those individuals, right? You've talked about Bible studies that she's led and things like that. Right.
Yes. So my wife was spiritually qualified. She did not seek the limelight. She was a very godly woman. She taught Bible studies. We taught classes together, marriage classes. But she modeled, again, 1 Timothy chapter 2. She modeled Titus 2. And my wife, as other women, to know me very clearly, I've been deeply impacted by two women. I saw it in action. My mother and my wife. I am who I am today because of two women. My mother, the Mother Teresa of the Lutheran Church, and my wife.
So just for clarification, when it comes specifically to Ephesians chapter 4, where we've got this list here, would you say that these are positions or these are gifts that are listed in this?
If you read that chapter, Matt, it's very careful because I know this is going to surprise people. It says twice they're gifts, gifts, gifts. They are gifts. I believe apostle, evangelist, pastor, teachers were gifts given to the church and not positions.
And the bottom line is Paul writes here is that all of those gifts were given for one purpose, right? And that's the last line of this section of scripture here. All of those gifts were given for the building up of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of all spiritual gifts. So we'll go into what the specific spiritual gifts were next week or are next week, and we'll look at those other passages.
And then I think answer your question, I do believe that a just like men or young people can have the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, so could women. Women can have the spiritual gift as well. Because it's not so much a position in the church, it's a gift.
Amen.
And so it's a gift. You teach the Bible, you have the ability to teach the Bible, to communicate the Bible, but the difference in pastor teacher, it's not professor teacher, it is pastor teacher. You are a pastor to people. You have concern. You have compassion. You will hold their hand, look in their eye, cry with them, rejoice with them. You go to the hospitals, intensive care facilities. You are part of where life is at. All the joys, remember, to the grave, from cradle to the grave. You are a pastor. And you have someone here, Pastor Matt, who is spiritually qualified to be an elder. And he's also using his gift of pastor teacher to the glory of God, to the benefit of his congregation, our church family, Community Evangelical Free Church. You don't need to send me a check either, Matt.
I was just going to say, we're going to have to talk to Roger Hansel and see if we can boost your pay for being an elder.
I do have a joke.
There is none, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Can I give a joke out? Mike knows my joke. My whole adult life, okay, whole adult life, even I received a paycheck, I was paid to be good. I was paid to be good. I am free. I feel liberated. This is the first time I'm actually good for nothing.
Yep. Roger Hansel said, make sure that you, when you sign on to be an elder, you ask for the big bucks right away. So we, his joke last year when he signed up to be, Roger Hansel's joke when he signed up to be an elder again last time was that he was expecting double the pay this time around. So 2 times 0 is, some of you know math. You can figure it
out. Now, if I can add another thought, I know we're over time, but if you have elders, and I'm looking to see some of the elders, and also we have an administrative board too, they are due your respect and admiration, appreciation, because they are paid. They're good for nothing. So thank them, appreciate them, put them on your Christmas mailing list, by the way. And then those pastors, like Matt and Andy, give them double honor. Not just financial benefits, but respect and honor. And so is that helpful? But with gifts, there are people here that are doing gifts, and I believe in heaven. I have the gift of talk, and I get the glory now. But I believe there are people in heaven who don't talk like I do or as much, and they'll be richly rewarded at the judgment seat of Jesus because they didn't have the opportunity to talk like me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the rewards that are awaiting faithful faithful followers of Christ are much better than what anyone could receive in a paycheck on this earth anyway. So that's the day that we look forward to. The great payday. The day when Jesus sets everything right. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Roger and his faithful ministry to you over the years and his faithful ministry of and to his wife as well, Lord. We thank you for their story and their experiences and the ministries that they were a part of. And we thank you that Roger's a part of this ministry here today as well. We thank you that your Spirit does endow on us certain spiritual gifts that you want used for the building up of the body of Christ. Father, thank you for all of us who have placed our trust in you and those gifts that you've given us, not just the gift of grace that we have for eternal life, but our spiritual gifts as well that you desire for us to exercise. Father, help us to do that by your power and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.